Then we come to the fourth seal, and the fourth horse rides forth. And again, I read my translation. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, "Go." And I looked, and behold, a pale, greenish-yellow horse, and one sitting upon him. Death was his name, and Hades followed with him. And there was given unto them authority over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with famine, and with death, pestilence by the wild beasts of the earth. Here is a pestilence that's going to take out one-fourth of the population of the earth. There won't be enough antibiotics and penicillin to go around in that day to stop it. Now, death is personalized here. And next time I want to talk about that, because death is just more than cessation of physical activity. It's much more than that for a human being. Now we've had the riding of the four horsemen, and I want to say this, for this follows exactly the pattern that the Lord Jesus gave. He says in Matthew 24, verse 5, this is the Olivet Discourse, he says, "First many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." The rider on the white horse. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars," the red horse. And he says, "See that ye be not troubled." Then he goes on to say, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines," all right, the third horse, the black horse, "and pestilences," the fourth horse, "and earthquakes in divers places." These are just the beginning of sorrows. This is the opening of the great tribulation, you see. Now, our Lord said the identical thing in the Olivet Discourse. Now, when these horsemen ride, apparently a fourth of the population of the earth is removed by these judgments that come upon the earth. Now, death here is personalized. You'll notice death was his name. And that is the same thing that we have from Paul in Romans 5:14, where he says, "And nevertheless, death became king from Adam down to Moses, and over them who did not sin after the fashion of Adam's sin," or transgression, "who is the type of him," that is of Adam, "who was to come," that is the coming one. Now, death was his name. And then we are told that Hades followed with him. Now, the word for Hades is sometimes translated by the word hell, unfortunately. Over in Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 23, it says, speaking of the rich man and Lazarus, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom." That's very unfortunate. It is this same word, Hades. And actually, it does not refer to hell at all. It speaks either of physical death, where the spirit goes, or it can speak of the grave, where the body is placed. In other words, while death takes the body, Hades is the place where the spirit of a lost man goes. And the Lord Jesus gave it that way, you see. Now, Paul personifies death in this verse I've given from Romans 5:14. And as he does sin in that same section, and he does it for emphasis, you see, sin and death entered the world at the same time. Death is a result of sin. And during the interval from Adam to Moses, men did not commit the same sin as did Adam. Adam was put on a different basis. Nor was their sinning a transgression of a law as from Adam. Also, the Ten Commandments had not been given then. So you have a period there when men sinned and died. Nevertheless, Adam's sin became their sin, for they died as Adam died. Even babies died in the flood. Now, death has evidently an all-inclusive meaning that we do not attach to it ordinarily. We think of death referring only to the body, or what we call physical death, and it refers only to the body, and it comes to a man because of Adam's sin. Then there's what is known as spiritual death. That is separation from and rebellion against God. We inherit a dead nature from Adam. That is, we have no capacity for God, no desire for Him at all. And then there is eternal death, and that's eternal separation from God. And unless a man is redeemed, this inevitably follows. And this is the second death that we will find later on in Revelation 20:14. And I'm going to bring these three up again and develop them when we get to Revelation 20:14. But you see, when Adam sinned, God said, in the day you eat, you'll die. Well, he lived 900 and some odd years after that, physically. But he was dead spiritually to God. He ran from God, no longer desire for fellowship with God. He died spiritually, and physical death followed and has come into the human family, and more it deteriorates mankind. Most of us are being propped up today anyway. That's the way we stay alive, because of modern medicine and the marvelous developments of science. Actually, the human race is deteriorating all the time. Human life would be much shorter than it is if it were not for all of the modern gadgets to prop us up and keep us alive down here. Now, Adam is definitely declared here to be a type of Christ. Death must be laid at Adam's door as his total responsibility. You see, God did not create man to die. It was a penalty imposed because Adam transgressed God's command. His transgression is our transgression, and his death is our death. Thus, Christ is the head of a new creation, and this new creation has life in him, and only in Christ. He alone can give life, and he is totally responsible for the life and the bliss of those that are his own. Dr. Schaefer put it like this, and this is a theological statement. Thus, spiritual death comes immediately through an unbroken line of posterity. Over against this, physical death is received from Adam immediately as each person dies in body because of his own personal share in Adam's first sin. Now, during the Great Tribulation, death will ride unbridled. The Lord Jesus put it like this, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, at the great white throne, death is finally destroyed. And we are going to see that later on. Paul confirmed this. He said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's 1 Corinthians 15:26. And John reasserts it in Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is something that's very important for us to see. Now we see that the sword, famine, pestilence, and wild beast will decimate this earth by 1/4. And this is something that God had said would come. Ezekiel had predicted it in Ezekiel 14:21. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my 4 sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. So the pale horse represents plague and pestilence that will stalk the earth, and it will also encompass the possibility of germ warfare. And I don't want to get into that today, but there are men that have made the statement, and there's scientists, One of them, Dr. Holtman at the University of Tennessee, says while the greater part of a city's population could be destroyed by an atomic bomb, the bacteria method might easily wipe out the entire population within a week.